Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth, straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden. I'm working
an Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Well, hello, everybody. Chuck Bonneville, Julie Hayden, the True Straight Up Chuck and Julie Show, brought to you by...
The show brought to you by Rocky Mountain West Wellness, with Dr. Jack Schaefer, Advanced Chinese Medicine and Acupuncture, HappyTrees.co, and Denver Synergenics with Dr. Julie McCallan. We're going to have Dr. John Lott Jr. coming up here in a few seconds as soon as Thomas gets him on the phone to talk about the shooting in Tennessee. There's so much to talk about on that. Also, we're going to play for you. James O'Keefe was down for about a week, but is back, you know, after Project Veritas ousted him, but is back.
I wonder how that board's doing.
Yeah, exactly. They're like, maybe that wasn't such a good move, with a great expose on a whole new aspect, as if there weren't enough aspects of election fraud, but on a whole new aspect of sort of election integrity. Also, shockingly, the grand jury in Manhattan investigating.
Taking a month off.
Well, it depends on who you...
Spring vacation.
You either it was a totally planned, never before mentioned break, or it was canceled for a month. So I don't know.
Well, then, you know, suspended for a month.
Suspended for a month.
All right. Somebody we've got John Lott with us.
John Lott, he's the president of the Crime Prevention Research Center, had a great article up in Newsmax this morning. Hey, John, thank you for your time again.
Thanks very much for having me.
You bet.
So I loved what you talked about in your Newsmax column is something we've all talked about, and you've talked about even on our show. And, you know, the left, anytime there's a shooting, screams about guns, screams about this, and ignores things that would actually help solve the problem. And I think this case in Tennessee really drives it home, where apparently the shooter was initially going to target someplace else, but decided that there was too much security there, so went to the gun-free zone school and committed the crime there. And you talk about that in your column today, the Newsmax column, right?
Right. Well, I mean, this happens time after time. The thing is that the news media, the national news media, ignores this. You know, it's just not this case, but, you know, take something like the Buffalo mass murderer from last year. In his manifesto, which the media claims that they were covering, he spends a great deal of time explaining why he picked the target that he did. And right up there at the top was he wanted to pick a target where he knew his victims wouldn't have permitted concealed handguns, because he thought it would make it a lot easier for him to go and kill lots of people. You know, on our website at crimeresearch.org, we have literally dozens of those types of cases listed, but the media just refuses to mention it. You would think people would be very interested in knowing why do these guys pick the targets that they do? Do they pick them because their goal is to get media coverage, and they know the more people they kill, the more media coverage they're going to get? And so they may be crazy in some sense, but they're not stupid.
Right.
Right. Places where victims can't defend themselves.
Right. Well, I remember years I covered the Aurora Theater shooting case, right? And in that, the shooter in that case basically said the same thing. And that was many years ago, right? I picked the theater because I knew no one would have a handgun, and I wanted to get out of
the theater. Life. Prohibited right. People from carrying handguns.
Yeah, what happened in the Aurora Batman movie theater shooting case, there were 7 movie theaters that were showing the premiere of the Batman movie within a 20-minute drive of the murderer's apartment. Only one of those places banned permitted concealed handguns. It wasn't the movie theater that was closest to his apartment. It wasn't the one that had the largest auditoriums in the state of Colorado. He went to the only, and he cased the places. We know right. That he cased the places beforehand, and he had another target that he had been thinking of, but he was worried also about security there. So he picked the one movie theater that banned people being able to go and protect themselves.
Well, and in this case, too, you know, they talk about the heroic headmistress, and it seems like indeed she was, right? She rushed and she seemed to be trying to prevent it. But you kind of wonder, well, what if she'd had a gun, right? I mean, you know, the left gets all bent out of shape about the concept of arming teachers who are trained and willing to be armed and saying, oh, that's horrible. We don't want to turn, you know, we don't want to turn our schools into prisons, but we are willing to turn them into slaughter mills. Yeah. I mean, it is, it's got to be. I know it's frustrating for me, but this is what you guys do. It's got to be frustrating over and over and over again to see this and have the media and the left drive this narrative that somehow, you know, we can't do anything to actually solve it. We just have to scream about guns.
Well, I mean, yeah, it is extremely frustrating. I mean, you have things like Democrats pushing for background checks on private transfers of guns because of this. I wish somebody in the media would ask them, well, would it have stopped this last attack? Would it have stopped any of these mass public shootings this century? And the answer is no. But yet they keep on pushing it out there. It makes me believe that the reasons why they claim they want it are completely unrelated to what's actually happening and what they claim they do. But, you know, you have Biden just a couple weeks ago. He goes out to Monterey Park, California. California's just had a spate of mass public shootings. They have a rate of mass public shootings that's much higher than the average for the rest of the country. And he goes and he says, well, we need to have an assault weapons ban. We need to have background checks on the private transfers of guns. We need to have red flag laws. Well, guess what? California already has all those laws.
Yeah.
And yet they have a much higher rate of mass public shootings than the rest of the country.
Right.
And yet Biden doesn't see the irony in going over there and saying, boy, we need to make the rest of the country emulate the types of rules that they have in California. What I think has happened in California is that the reason why they have so many attacks is because of their gun control laws. You look at Los Angeles County, where two of these recent mass public shootings have occurred there. Only one out of every 5,600 adults in Los Angeles County have a concealed carry permit. San Mateo County, where another one of these mass public shootings occurred earlier this year, they only have one concealed carry permit for every 24,000 adults.
Wow.
You look at the rest of the country, you know, basically you're the 43 right to carry type states, you have one permit holder for every 9 adults. The point is that, you know, somebody going and attacking a place in Los Angeles County or Mayo County, it has no worry that they're going to run into somebody who's going to be able to go and stop them. You know, I recently, when I was at the Department of Justice, I was, one of the things I was tasked with was to look at these active shooting cases. Active shooting cases are incidents where a gun is fired in public, not part of some other type of crime like a robbery or a gang fight over drug turf. And you could have anything from one person being shot at and missed all the way up to a mass public shooting. Looking at the data from 2014 through 2021, you find over half of the active shooting attacks were stopped by legally armed citizens in places where they were legally allowed to own, to carry guns. So, you know, but that's not happening in places like California or New York or whatever.
I mean, that's the other thing that always bothers me is Sean Hannity and others saying, I want a armed guard, you know, police officer, peace officer in every school and every, which costs a fortune, right? And most of them will have nothing to do all day, which is never good. But if you arm the teachers, you don't have one person you can who may be a coward. That's happened down in Florida in Uvalde, and there are a lot of cowards. But other places, you have, and you can't have one person get sick. Yeah, you don't know which one has it. If you want to make a school safe, you give the teachers who want to take the training, and the person doesn't know where to go to avoid it.
Yeah, exactly. Look. Here's the problem. I mean, I know that there are going to be bills put up in Congress to go and have more funding to put a police officer in each school. But you have one person in uniform. They have an almost impossible job stopping these attacks. These attackers have real tactical strategic advantages.
Right.
You know, if you have only one person in uniform who's readily identifiable, you can wait for that person to leave the area before you attack, or you can move on to another target yourself. Or if you're going to attack that, what you do is you who do you think you shoot first? You shoot one person in uniform because you know he's the only person with a gun. You exactly say, if you have armed teachers who are carrying concealed, you don't know who has it any more than you know when you go to a grocery store or a movie theater or something, whether somebody next to you is armed or not. And the thing is, if you are going to have an armed officer there, and I agree with you, it's an incredibly boring job for them. But if you are going to have an armed officer there, you make their job safer, because if somebody attacks, they know that somebody behind them or to the side who they can't identify beforehand is going to be armed. But we've looked at all the school shootings in the United States from 2000 on. There are 20 states that have armed teachers. Colorado has a few schools that have it. But you literally have thousands of schools in those 20 states that allow teachers and staff to carry. In places like Utah and New Hampshire, for example, anyone who has a concealed carry permit can carry. The thing is, there's not been one attack at any of those schools that have armed teachers where anybody's been wounded or killed in all those years. Every attack where anybody's been wounded or killed has occurred in schools where teachers and staff are banned from having guns.
That's the biggest thing too, is that basically by allowing that to happen, you're making everything safer, because we know, and as you said, your research totally supports this, that for the most part, these people pick soft targets. So if you're, a would-be shooter, and you know that there's a pretty good chance at any school you pick, say in the Denver metropolitan area, that they're going to be armed teachers there, you're not going to go to a school. You're going to go to someplace else. So by simply allowing it, it's not like you're going to be having...
It doesn't cost you any money.
And it doesn't. Yeah.
You don't have to have a $100,000 plus person with all benefits and all that sitting around, bored out of his mind. And that's never a good idea to have somebody bored out of their mind all day, because then they get in, they find things to get into. But teachers are there anyway. So I've never quite understood why this demand for more bureaucracy, more paid people, more everything else, when the solution is so simple.
Well, and another thing, John, I don't know if you're aware of what's been going on in Colorado. The legislature is on the verge of passing.
Yeah,
the governor
testified before
sign it.
I testified before the state Senate. You have all sorts of crazy gun laws.
Oh, did you?
Oh, again. Yeah, exactly. And then we had a case where this is how the schools in Colorado work. There was a East High School. So there was a kid who was apparently accused of attempted murder and had a gun at one school district. So they kicked him out. In Denver, they bring him in. And because they kicked school resource officers, because, they're hard, after the George Floyd thing, they kicked all the school resource officers out. They had teachers with absolutely no training patting this kid down. And of course, then one day he shot them. And then
they patted him down, found a gun, but he grabbed it first and killed him.
I mean,
it's just,
And then they blame guns, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's just ridiculous.
Yeah, well, I mean, Biden, for example, just talks about gun violence generally. What most people don't seem to understand is that less than 8% of violent crime involves guns. And if you really want to make people safer, generally, you have to just make crime riskier itself. It's same policy you push to go and stop gun crime as you go and you stop crime generally. You have to make it risky for criminals to go and commit crimes. And unfortunately, across a lot of the country, we have police budgets being cut. We have liberal judges over the last few years releasing, in many urban areas, half or even two-thirds of the inmates from jails. We have district attorneys who are refusing to prosecute violent criminals, and we have bail reform. Just had a situation in Detroit recently where a man had killed three people, had done other felonies, and he was released on $10,000 bail. He went out and immediately murdered somebody else.
They hiked his bail up to $12,000, though.
And what about, I wanted to ask you something else too, because I saw you were tweeting about this. The corruption, I think, of the media involved in this. And I don't know who decided to release it, but when you look at the fact that they immediately released all this body cam video and the surveillance video where you see people walking around with guns, looks very dangerous, looks very scary, but they won't release the manifesto where this person, the shooter, explained why they did what they did. I mean, it seems to me that that is a very clear attempt to try to manipulate people regarding the gun debate. It's like, we don't want to hear why he did it. We just want to show scary looking pictures of people walking around with guns.
Well, look, the media itself hasn't covered the manifestos accurately in the past. I mean, as we mentioned before, they won't. These guys talk about why they picked the targets that they did. If we want to stop these things, don't you think that's newsworthy? Why they picked the targets that they did? That they want to pick these soft targets? But you know, it's beyond that. You know, you read the New York Times, you take something like the Buffalo mass murder from last year. The New York Times has had at least six editorial on it, referring to the person as a right-wing conservative type. And, you know, you read it, he's a racist, but the media seems to believe if you're a racist, that makes you a right-winger. What they ignore is that the reason why he was a racist, the reason why he hated minorities, was because he was an environmentalist. He was upset that minorities, he thought, had too many children and that we had overpopulation and that was damaging the environment. He called himself a socialist. He called himself an eco-fascist. I don't know how many conservatives you know that are upset with people having too many kids. I don't know how many conservatives you know that call themselves socialists or eco-fascists. But, you know, to the media, they want to make it, you know, this narrative that Biden's been pushing about right-wing violence. And so you look at most of the murders by extremists have been environmentalist types who think.
Well, and we've had quite a few here in Colorado now that are by non-binary trans.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you about that. I mean, NBC News is saying that, you know, they're reporting the trans community is living in fear now, right? Never mind Christians or children. But in the research that you did, it does seem like, I mean, in Colorado, we had at the Douglas STEM school shooting, there was a trans person at the Colorado Springs. It was somebody who identified as non-binary. There seems to be, and it's always hard to tell, as it's just, are you paying more attention now? So it seems like the more are there more. But in your research and the statistics that you guys keep, do you look into that at all in terms of
data and all sorts of things about these guys? I mean, if you go to our website, we have a large spreadsheet that was embraced out. I mean, we have like literally many dozens of columns of information there on these guys. But look, if you look at these mass public shooters, what you find is well over 70% of them have no ideological motive or anything. These guys are just suicidal. And at some point along the line, these people generally feel unappreciated. And they figured out that they could get a lot of media attention by killing people. And so you'll see things in their manifestos and diaries and other statements that they leave that if I can only kill more people than such and such, I can get my name in the history books. Okay. I can get media attention. And so you'll have people who will say things over the years, like for a while they would say, if I can only kill more people than they killed at Columbine. Or you have the Sandy Hook killer who wanted to go and kill more people than the Norway killer had killed, who shot to death 67 people. And the reason why he picked him was because that was more than any mass public shooting in the U.S. And he wanted to get even more worldwide news coverage. Look, I wouldn't even put it past some of these individuals because of their desire to get news coverage that they go and attack things like an elementary school. Because they think it'll be more shocking and they think that will get them more news coverage this year. Look, I'm not going to go and argue that we need to get rid of the First Amendment, but I'm not going to say the media can't cover their names or whatever. But looking at what motivates them, the fact that they want to get this news coverage and they pick venues where they can kill lots of people, help us understand how to stop it. Because if you can take away their goal, if you can take away their news coverage, you'll take away their desire to do this. And the way you take away their ability to get that goal is by having somebody there quickly on the scene. You know, as you mentioned at the beginning, look at this this killer in Tennessee on Monday. There was another place that they had targeted, but they decided not to do that because there was too much security, they felt.
Right.
There. So they moved to another target that they didn't have to worry about somebody being able to stop them.
Right. Well, exactly. And again, in the news media, and I kind of anymore think the Democrats, like you said, the fact that they over and over and over again ignore obvious solutions. To me, I think Democrats like to fundraise off of this, right? They like to have, you know, I'm sure at the Colorado legislature, they're like, see, we told you we need more. I mean, even though none of the bills would address anything that happened in Tennessee or really anywhere else, right? You know, I mean, for instance, in this case, apparently the kid told a friend and then the friend was on hold for like 7 minutes trying to call the cops, right? I mean, you could look at some of those issues, even though the cops, I think in this case, did a great job. But instead, all they want to do, and I think they want to fundraise off of it, right?
No, they have they want to get rid of guns because it makes a more placid population. And so they can use this in order to push a really sick agenda. But that's...
What do you think, John?
Well, I mean, I don't know. It's hard for me to get into people's minds about why they're doing the particular things that they're doing. What I can say is that what they're pushing isn't helping. And, you know, and I said before, I wish the media once in a while would just ask them, okay, well, you want background checks on the private transfers of guns to stop these attacks. Can you name me one mass public shooting this century that would have been stopped if such a law had been in effect and perfectly enforced? Because they can't.
Right.
Well, because you assume they really want to stop these things, that they're honest.
Well, I can't judge that. Maybe
I can. I think I can.
Okay, well, you get paid more than I do to answer the tough
there
questions.
You go.
But I'm just saying, it doesn't matter to me what their motives are. The question is what's working and what doesn't work. And I see these guys overwhelmingly pick targets where people aren't allowed to have guns for protection. I see them in their diaries and manifestos mentioning time after time that they picked those particular types of targets. And so it's hard to ignore that that's happening. And I don't see why the media can justify to itself not covering that. How can they justify not?
Because it didn't
make your goal. They say they're reading the diaries and manifestos. How can they justify not mentioning that? You know, even this attacker on Monday. Now it's come out that there was another place that they had targeted that they turned down because of security. There's some local news stories on that, but have you seen any of the major mainstream networks? Have you seen the New York Times?
It doesn't fit their agenda.
Right. No,
they've got an agenda and it doesn't fit it.
Then we got to wait for people to wake up.
And the agenda is not to make kids safer. It's political goals.
Yeah.
If that was their goal in reality, then they would publicize it.
And finally, John, just a couple more questions. It sounds like sadly, there are an ongoing series of events that allow you guys to continue to gather information. I mean, and the Crime Prevention Research Center does a great job, as you said, of compiling all of this. But it sounds like from what you're saying is that over and over and over again, you're coming up with the same answers, that it is this whole soft target versus hard target kind of concept.
Yeah, well, look, it's not just these mass public shootings. I was chief economist for the United States Sentencing Commission in Washington for a while, and I must have read over 1,000 criminal trial transcripts. And what you find is that these guys pick easier jobs. You know, you'll have a case where you'll have robbers being tried, and one robber will turn evidence against his partner. And the prosecution will ask a very similar set of questions each time. They'll say, how did you decide to pick this particular victim? And they'll say, well, we were talking about going after the drug dealer down the street, but he has lots of guns and lots of people. It'd be crazy. It's lots of money, but it's just not worth the risk. We talked about going after a cab driver, but a lot of the cab drivers have guns. And then we saw this small woman walking alone late at night in a parking lot, and she looked like an easy target. So we went after her.
Yeah.
And so, they're not stupid. If they can rob somebody and get money, But I mean, that's basically what my research has shown since then. This is people who benefit the most from having guns are the most vulnerable people in our society. They're the people who are most likely victims of violent crime. And that overwhelmingly tends to be poor Blacks who live in high crime urban areas, and people who are relatively weaker physically, women and the elderly. And the thing is, a lot of the gun control laws that they're pushing, like these background checks on private transfers, or in Colorado now, the new laws that they want to have for suits against gun makers and gun sellers, which, by the way, they can be sued already. They can be sued if they make a defective product or if they break the law and don't do a proper background check when they sell the gun. What they want to do is make it so that whenever any harm comes from their product, they can be sued. So you can imagine if you applied that to cars, for example, where somebody is talking to somebody else and not paying attention when they're driving, should Ford or General Motors be responsible for any lost wages or medical bills or pain and suffering because the guy wasn't paying attention when he was driving?
Electric scooters,
But John, you figured out through immense study and reading and everything else that one effective solution would be to harden the targets, to have people who have concealed carry be able to have those. Your next study has to be, since the media is not stupid and reporters aren't stupid, why won't they do it? And you say you can't read their mind. Well, but that's the inquiry you have to have, because all your good logic has failed because they are not reporting it. And now you've got to figure out why aren't they reporting it?
And how to get them to.
Yeah.
There you go. That should take you a century.
A couple of years. Yeah.
Hey, John, listen, thank you so much for your time.
It. Yeah, you're great, John.
You guys have a great resource
there. People can find more at our website at crimeresearch.org, crimeresearch.org. They can find everything that we've been talking about there on our website.
That's great.
All right. Thank you so much. Thanks, John. Thank you for the work you do. And thank you for testifying here in Colorado.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for all the good that it did. But I have a lot of great comments here. This is from Charlene. I mean, some of them said the powers that be don't want the violence to stop until they confiscate all guns. Yeah. The regime does not love America. Dr. Donna says, wonder why some of the transgender folks are now doing militia training. Yeah. You know what? And then Dr. Donna or Charlene says back, it's a psyop. In my opinion, the mainstream media is telling us everything we're supposed to know, whether it's true or not. Yeah. You know, I get the feeling. And was it Tucker Carlson had that Andy, I'm going to say his name wrong. Okay. You know who I'm talking. He's the guy who's been studying Antifa. And he was saying, and I think this is true, that there is a certain amount of these Antifa groups attract people, kind of like gangs or any organization like that, right? Who are looking for a place to belong. And the Antifa things, make no mistake, are violent and violent oriented. And they talk about training and things like that, right? And he was saying that when you look at the people who are arrested at the Antifa violent protests, right? Mm-hmm. That a significant, given the overall population, right? Like he said, sometimes as many as 20% of them, when you look at, identify as trans. Right. And he said, so it looks as if, and I don't know if which came first, the chicken or the egg here, whether they want to be violent or whether they're looking for something to belong to and be rebellious and, you know, this Antifa thing.
Well,
and
if you want to take a person who feels alienated from this society, alienated from everything, you know, pick a person who thinks that they're actually another sex. That's a person who's going to be very alienated. And if you pump them up with enough hormones and stuff, they're going to be very violent.
Right. They're not going to join the Christian youth group, and stuff like that. So they join it. But that's interesting. And it is obviously, I mean, and you notice it's okay for them to be posing with guns and stuff. Sure. I mean, can you see if this was turned around? Can you see if we'd had a series of Trump supporters who just came from, say, the Waco thing, then shoot and kill people and show all of them, we're having a day of vengeance, by the way. Can you imagine? Look how freaked out they are about January 6th, which they instigated, right? But it's okay for this group because the left likes them to have a day of vengeance. Now, where's the FBI on that, right? You'd think
they're not there.
You thought the FBI would be looking into that. Yeah. So
get the trans unit out.
The bigger thing is too, is, you know, somebody was commenting on one of the shows last night. When did the all about everybody in the media is saying, oh, we don't want to see the manifesto. We don't publicize the manifesto because that might spark copycats. Like showing the picture of the kid walking around with a gun. Yeah, it's not going to spark a copycat. Right? I mean, it's ridiculous anyway. And it's not like people haven't thought of this before. It's not like, but they're like, no, don't want to have the manifesto. And you know why? Because somebody's told them what's in the manifesto and it hurts their narrative, which is pushing this whole trans sexualization of children onto the society, and they don't want to do anything to disrupt that. I have a feeling that may not last very long. I mean, sooner or later, somebody's going to leak the manifesto, but at that point, it'll be buried. They will have moved on to
who knows what.
Yeah, well, Trump. Look, a couple other things too, real quick, because I want to talk about the James O'Keefe thing. So the Manhattan grand jury has been either canceled or on a planned break.
I don't think they're canceled.
Well, Greg Jarrett was calling it canceled. They don't have apparently they don't have a new meeting date. So
you cancel a grand jury when you adjourn it. That's when it's gone. Right?
Well, the meetings have been canceled. Okay, I see what you're saying. Mm.
It's not.
We'll see. I think they're waiting to see what happens in the polls. I mean, I don't think that the DA wasn't going there, but I kind of do. Meantime, though, I wanted to talk. I said, I think the DA is being kind of manipulated and paying attention to polls and how this is looking.
All the people in his office are bitching at him.
Well, I think that sounds like that's what some people are reporting on that. But wanted to switch over. I don't know if you guys saw the new James O'Keefe. He's got, I like the name of it. It's the OMG, O'Keefe Media Group, but it's like OMG. So they have uncovered, and apparently the Gateway Pundit, the Epoch Times have done some things on this, but it's this whole new layer of election integrity issues, election fraud. What they found, and then he goes as he does and knocks on doors of people. What they found, let me get my glasses on, is that there are massive numbers of voters in states like Washington State and Maryland who donate, and all of them are elderly and have no job. They're not employed, donating thousands of times in small amounts, basically, to Democrats and Democrat-supported or Democrat PACs that support Democrats. There was, I mean, and we're not just talking a few times. There was one, and he'll talk about it here. The person would have had to donate 10 times a day, every day for a year to reach the number of donations. And it was like $230,000 or something ridiculous like this. And these people in small donations, right? And they're like, what the heck is going on with that? So I want to play it because it's interesting to me, and it's a kind of thing that obviously somebody needs to look into, and they're not going to. But if we could, Thomas, please play the O'Keefe number one soundbite.
FEC data shows that some senior citizens across the U.S. have been donating thousands of times per year. Some of these individuals' names and addresses are attached to over $200,000 in contributions. We went and knocked on a few of their doors to corroborate the data that we received from a group of citizen journalists called Election Watch in Maryland. This is James O'Keefe with OMG. I'm here in Annapolis, Maryland. It's an individual who has donated a total of $217,000 made through 12,000 different contributions in a three-year period of time. Now, sometimes these contributions have been made in variations of his name and variations of his address. You see this chart here. This chart shows a breakdown of the committees that were earmarked to receive the donations made through Act Blue. And this is all FEC and state data. We're wondering if these donors are victims of what appears to be a money laundering scheme, or these residents actually participated in the scheme, or making phone calls, or knocking on doors. These are things that you can do.
And so Act Blue, if you don't know, it's like a clearinghouse for it's kind of like crowdsourcing for a Democrat candidate. So you can go on Act Blue and they have a whole bunch of things and you can just click and donate. So what they're talking about is they've discovered there are people who are donating thousands and thousands of times in small amounts, right, to these various causes. So, and he asked the question, you know, were the people, was somebody stealing their identity in doing this, or were they kind of like the mules, sort of, you know, willing, you know, the people who let their ballots be collected, were they kind of willing? And at that point, you got to wonder. So I'm going to play a couple of sound bites. One, and you can comment on whether you think or not, but And this one, I think they knock on a door. And to me, if somebody knocked on my door and said, did you know that you've donated thousands and thousands of dollars and thousands of time to ActBlue? I would be like, what? Instead, it's just like, oh, I'm not sure. So I think this person is in on it. But tell me what you think. If we could play the O'Keefe number two soundbite, please. Whoop, do we have it? O'Keefe number two. Oh, one moment. Oh, it's broken.
Oh, no.
Oh, no, it's broken. How can it be broken? Well, okay, so what they do then, I'll reenact it. So, you be the guy. No, I'm kidding. James O'Keefe knocks on the door and he says, wait, what's he say?
The third word.
Okay, we'll play the third one in a second. So in this one, what happens is he knocks on the door and it's a woman and they say, well, you know, you've donated like literally thousands of times and some like roughly $170,000. And she's like, oh, and he's like, well, do you donate? And she goes, I don't really know how much you donate. And he's like, well, have you donated ever? And she's like, well, yeah, you know, a couple of times. And he's like, well, do you think you might've donated this? And she's like, well, it's hard to say. I'm like, what do you mean it's hard to say? I guarantee you, if I were donating thousands of times, $170,000, I would remember that, right? It's kind of like when I used to go on cop ride-alongs and they would stop like bad guys and the cops would say, they'd say, well, do you have any outstanding warrants? And they'd be like, I don't know. I mean, your average person, I think you would know if you had an outstanding arrest warrant that you were wanted for. But anyway, so then this third one though, I have a feeling, I look at this and I'm like, I don't think the person does know. So if we could play the O'Keefe number three then, please.
But does it sound about right? There's been 18,000 contributions.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
In the amount of like $170,000.
Absolutely not.
Really?
Yes.
Okay. So that's not you doing that?
No, it's not.
But does the frequency ring a bell that you're donating that much every like 10 times a day sometimes?
No.
Do you think someone is maybe fraudulently debiting your accounts or something?
They must be. ActBlue is the one I use for political donations.
Yep.
And I do not make that kind of political donations.
Right. So right here, it's 18,672 different contributions that total an amount of $170,221.
No.
So I'm about...
So she seemed, my sense on her is that she like was not involved. So the question is, you got to be like, what's going on? Yeah. And Dr. Donna, she saw the tape too. Some got aggressively angry at the question.
Yeah.
And said they should go hit Trump on the head and give him a scar on the head. And Dr. Donna, you're absolutely right. Now to check their bank records. My guess is, I mean, Chuck, I'm not sure if I were running an election campaign funding fraud scheme, it's probably not coming from their bank, right? I mean, that would be, the thing is, this would be a very easy crime to investigate, right? Number one, you show up, because it's crime, you show up in an official capacity if you're a law enforcement and you talk to them and, you know, and you bring them in and say, did you, you know, and then you could subpoena their bank records and you could see where they, or you could, there's computer records and you could see.
You need to subpoena ActBlue's.
Yeah.
To see where the money came from, and it'll come from some obscure account somewhere that's, you know, not traceable.
Right.
The trouble is that the Democrats, whatever the system is, will cheat it to an unbelievable extent. I mean, ActBlue has a huge amount of contributions, way more than the ActRed kind of one. In part because they're just shoveling all kinds
of because
they
do this.
Yeah.
Well, here's a question. So, and I think in their bigger questions too, like you said, you got to imagine, you know, it's there, you have their cake and eat it too, right? You have a real site where people can go on and donate easily. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, though, you have a site that's essentially made for money laundering because
that's how they came up with ActBlue.
Right. There are rules. I mean, explain this because there are rules about who can donate how much, right?
Right, and if you're, let's say, you're a foreign citizen, you can't do it, and lots of other people can't do it,
like China.
China,
Right.
And so it's beautiful. I mean, that's all they ever do is cheat, lie, steal. Washington, Maryland, you know, are you going to get a district attorney to take that? No.
No, no. Well, and you know,
you get a U.S. attorney because of federal law violations also. No.
Well, and you know, it's organized because like they said, sometimes there are people donated as much as 10 times a day. And if you know, if they've got one person doing it, there's other. So there's somebody is bringing the pot of money in and then somebody is running through the people who either willingly or unknowingly are the donors, right? And they're just depositing it. So, I mean, that's got to be really organized. Somebody is raising money that way, knowing that they can then, like they can go to China, say, and say, you know, we, you know, give us, you know, so much money for candidates.
Or Sam Bankman-Fried or wherever
Ukraine,
else.
Ukraine, Zelensky.
Zelensky, there you
Ukraine,
go.
Ukraine, anybody like that. There and you go. Think,
and well, you wonder why Democrats outraise Republicans 10 to 1. In Colorado in a lot of races. Well, because of this. I mean, they've you know, they cheat their way through everything. And I really don't think there's any way to stop them until you get away from them. Just say, look, we don't want to be around you people.
Well, and here's the other question is, because you can contribute legally, so you're right, this has the amounts. You got to wonder, and we've talked a little bit about it, but who would want to and why would they want to hide their donation? I mean, we donate, right? And you make your check and you can look it up. And you go back to some of the things that they were doing, like when Bob O'Pre and Matt Arnold did some great work on that raising money, where people don't want businesses, corporations, rich guys don't want people to know that they're donating to certain candidates or to certain causes because it's going to benefit them and they don't want it to come back to bite them. So they hide it because you can hide PACs. But
there's, you know, if you're buying ads and everything else, it costs you, I don't know, it's three or four times more if you're an IEC or a PAC than it does the campaign itself, and therefore hard dollars are viewed as you know, very valuable. Yes. Yeah.
Right. Let me read you guys some of the comments here. Well, the donations ended in 20. Wait, the donations ended in 21 cents. Who does not donate a whole dollar amount? It has to be computer generated. Well, exactly. You're right, Leo. There's some kind of, you're right. There's not somebody created the algorithm, but there's not like three guys sitting there doing that. Dr. Donna, I understand the Colorado legislature changed donation laws this session. Donation via the X marks the spot, and that is all the info you need as a candidate from the donor. Just your X is all you need to provide, madam. There you go. And then from Charlene, Leo, the PSYOP operatives are successfully dividing us into more and more groups to keep us from united. Now it's transgenders versus Christians. I don't even know how to resist. Make friends with the misguided, confused if possible. Love them and offer them identity and goodness. And don't give up, Charlene. I mean, just don't give up. There are more. Just always remember this. There are more of them than there are of us.
More of them than are of us.
No,
more
other way around. Oh, yeah, right.
They have now attacked your brain. They've taken over Julie's brain. We thought that was the case a while back.
There are more of us than there are of them.
Yeah, there you go.
And, you know, the Antifa people keep it. They get a lot of attention, and it is a PSYOP. I would imagine that the vast majority of people who are going through gender identity issues are not attending militia training. Right. I suspect the vast majority of them aren't. And you're right, Charlene. They want to divide us. They want to provoke violence back against those groups. So then they can turn around and say, see, we told you. Right. And they want to have people show up when Trump says he's going to be arrested and have violence. It worked great for them on January 6th. Right. Yeah. That, I mean, they want to do that. And they do want to divide us. And they don't want to have people reaching out. That's why, as John Lott was saying, they don't want anyone to see the manifesto, because then you could actually start looking at it and saying, well, maybe if we could determine that all of these kids were taking certain medications or this or doing that, you could find some commonalities and say, well, maybe we should address that, right? And instead, what they want to do is change the definition so that transgender isn't a mental health issue. Now, I don't know all about that, but it seems to me
mental health is what you want to define it.
Right. Well, exactly. But I mean, it seems to me that here again, they're trying to avoid dealing with a mental health issue, right? You just want to get it's one thing, I think, if you're an adult and you want to go through this, but it's another thing if you're a kid and particularly a young, you know, teenager who, you know, God knows it can be hard enough being a teenager and there are enough other things that go on. And I think it's no accident. I think there are probably scientific reasons to follow the science for why kids at that age, particularly males, tend to become, you know, develop various psychosis and things like that. And maybe that could all be tied together, but God forbid we actually look into that kind of thing to solve it, because as you said, you know, solving it doesn't really fit their narrative.
Where they want to go.
Right. Let's see, here we go. From Charlene, most of the transgenders are manufactured in bots, mm-hmm. make it appear that if there's more of them than there actually are. Exactly. And then Dr. Donna says, Tracer has you put the final amount as the donation and the fee is an expense. For everyone new, that makes it difficult for those helping to figure out sometimes. Well, and I think, I guess.
That's where you get the 21 cents.
Oh, that's where you get the 21 cents. Oh, okay. But it, still in all, it's not that they just have mules, gathering ballots. It's interesting. And again, nobody's going to look into this, right? Mm-hmm. No one's going to. And that's why the George Soros people funded that whole thing. So,
right.
And I imagine with James O'Keefe, it'll be just like all the other things he did with Pfizer and that kind of thing. They'll fire him, right? They'll start banning him. Because what I found was interesting in Twitter, Elon Musk, I hope we'll get on that. Somebody commented earlier, they fired Katie Hobbs's press secretary, who had the thing about this is what we do when people threaten trans, and they showed up a meme with a person with a gun, right? So she had to quit. That was okay. Twitter could post that, but anybody who posted and criticized the day of vengeance, right, mm-hmm. has been banned by Twitter. Twitter's banned. I mean, now the actual trans people can post it, but if you criticize it, clearly they've got a lot of work to do on the algorithms there. Speaking of algorithms as well, one other thing I want to talk about just for the last few minutes is the Denver mayoral election.
Well, I want to talk about one other thing. Okay. You know, and maybe we'll have it for our next show, but watching Mayorkas, the Homeland Security Secretary, just get ravaged by Ted Cruz, by Hawley, by Johnson, Kennedy of Louisiana. It's just, and it's starting to get to him. You can see him. He's starting to, and look the other way. And, you know, because he thought for sure he could bullshit these people enough. And now they're just kind of going, no, no, you're not bullshitting us anymore. And no, we're not going to let you talk. And it's
when
it's
you alert. Resign in disgrace.
Yeah, well,
it's a typical thing, right? If they really wanted to solve the whole gun violence in schools thing, they could harden the target. That would solve it. This is the kind of thing, you know, they talk about this administration and the Democrats these days hate children, clearly, right. The only person, the only group they hate worse than children is women, right? All the
biological
women, right?
Trans women.
If you're actually a man who says you're a woman, then they love you. Right? But if you're an actual woman who actually has children, a woman with children is like the worst thing to them.
Yeah.
But they talk about all of the sexual assaults and the sex trafficking, and the exploitation of children crossing the border too, mm-hmm. right? And they do nothing to stop that. But there was a thing that I read the other day where there were like tens of thousands of kids who crossed the border that they were supposed to keep track of, right? Are just gone. They released them.
Doesn't Mayorkas look like a poor Jeff Bezos? That's true.
He does look like a poor Jeff Bezos. Well, you know, that is one good thing, though, watching them do that. I will give, and if they're signed for hope, and there's always sign for hope.
Always signed for hope, because there's more of them.
But watching them, though, I mean, the House started it, right? The members of the House started going after these people, and then the Senate realized, people like that.
Yeah,
people don't like Mitch McConnell, and so he could stay gone forever. And I think it's good, because all of it, I think, increasingly opens people's eyes. And granted, it's not going to change. You know, Mayorkas isn't going to resign, right? Biden isn't going to change his immigration policies. But I think it makes it harder. And again, they don't like sunlight, right? And I think more and more light is being shown or shined, is being put on some of the things that are going on. I don't know. Does anybody know shown or shined? Okay. And Leah was like, she resigned. She wasn't fired. That's true. And this is Charlene. Yeah. Cruz just needs to get above his 1% of the presidential race. That could be, but it's encouraging at least that he realizes that that's the way to do it. Right. It's encouraging to realize that even if that is his motivation, that it's not like, I need to be namby-pamby and I need to turn into Mitt Romney. Instead, he needs to turn into more like Donald Trump, which final kind of thought. On your thoughts, Chuck, on the increasing news coming out, and we played a little bit from Simone on this on Monday, but that the Jeb Bush campaign is is turned into the Ron DeSantis campaign.
Yeah, nothing could be more disastrous for Ron DeSantis to be thought of as a tool of Jeb Bush. I mean, is there anything? I mean, you'd rather be a tool of Obama or something, but a tool of Jeb Bush? I mean, that's awful.
Not like it worked that well either.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he's floundering. He is really floundering.
Well, you got to wonder, you were speculating, you think they're looking for a different candidate?
Yeah, they're trying to figure out, okay, if Ron doesn't do it, you know, would Christie, love Chris Christie. Everybody loves that guy. And they're all pissed off at Youngkin that he wasn't going to be the sacrificial lamb.
No, because you saw Politico had a series of stories saying Youngkin would be great.
Oh, I'd love him, at least as a Republican,
I mean, so we really need to be taking our presidential advice from Politico.
Yes,
right?
Yes.
Politico tells us that Youngkin is the best candidate by far.
Ever have.
Oh, my gosh, let's go with him.
Yeah.
And he's not stupid enough to do it, is he?
No.
He's like, quit using my name. Quit using my name. Hey, guys, well, that's going to wrap it up for us today. Thank you to everybody on Zoom for all the comments, to Dr. John Lott, the great guys always at BBS. Catch all of the shows at chuckanddooley.com.
And we'll be back on Friday.
Party Friday.
Take care.